Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Smile 2. It's written and directed by Parker Finn, starring Naomi Scott as Skye Riley, Rosemary DeWitt as Elizabeth Riley, her mother, and Dylan Galula as Gemma. I think I got that right.
Yeah, good shot.
Fuck yeah. All right, the plot of the movie is, about to embark on a world tour, global pop sensation Skye Riley begins experiencing increasingly terrifying and inexplicable events. Overwhelmed by the escalating horrors and the pressures of fame, Skye is forced to face her past. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Smile 2?
I went into this with extremely low expectations after the first film because I hated that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this one was no different. But as Steve says, gotta commit to the bit.
Gotta commit
Watch
to the
these
bit.
For our 10 listeners.
Exactly. You just have to, you know, you have to do it, man. You have to nut up or you shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this movie... And here's what I'd like to do. First time ever, we should have a segment. And I like to call this segment Gaping Wild.
That sounds like something else.
I know. That's the whole point.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So allow me.
Yeah,
so,
feel free.
Okay. So gaping plot hole. The beginning of this movie starts off with a man sitting in his car. It looks like he's clearly distressed. Some shit's going down. I already have this sense that, like, okay, it says at the bottom of the screen 6 days later, which is clearly 6 days after he was already exposed to the, the smile demon, the smile virus, whatever you want to call it. So 6 days in, he sees his car pull up. It's like a fucking nice sport car, whatever. He puts on a ski mask, gets out, holds a gun to this guy's back, brings him inside. It's like this kind of fucking safe house. And there's like drug dealers and shit there, whatever. So... In this scene, he has this whole smile virus thing going on, whatever. I don't know. Smile demon? Demon? I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I know. It doesn't make sense. So he's holding this guy hostage. In front of this guy is his brother. So he stabs the guy he's holding hostage in the chest. Brutal, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. That's
great. This whole opening scene is the best scene in the movie.
I agree. This scene is fucking bonkers. Great scene. So... He stabs him, kills him, he shoots the brother accidentally and fatally killing him. But before he was trying to kill him, he wanted to, like, expose him to that, like, smile demon, whatever the fuck, that's overtaken him because he wanted to pass it on. So here's the giant fucking plot hole. So the brother dies. This guy eventually ends up running out of the house, gets hit by a car in beautiful entrails flying everywhere.
Dude, this part made me so happy. You know how I love a good car accident.
I know you do. You love them. So when it started to go to the whole title screen, you see the skit of blood and there's just entrails. There's a fucking foot cut off and all this shit. And I'm like, it's a pretty banger opening right there. That's sick. What I forgot to mention was when he was walking out of the car, he saw this random burning body. So automatically I was like, okay, he's got this smile demon thing happening. So here's the ginormous gaping plot hole is that in order to stop this thing, the theory is to stop this demon, the host has to die. at that time, that guy was the host, gets hit by a car, very much dead. The rest of the movie doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it should have died right there at the beginning.
Yeah, the movie's done.
This could have been a 10-minute YouTube short.
Yep, exactly. And you know what? I would have been fine with that. A 10-minute YouTube short of just that? Sure. But they basically just cut the head off the fucking demon. Less than 5 minutes into this movie. And now...
honestly, didn't even think of this.
You didn't even think of this, right?
Nope. No.
Yeah, because later on in the movie, Sky is talking to that one guy, and he's like, we have to kill you. It's the only way to stop it. Didn't they just fucking do that in, like, the first 3 minutes of the movie?
Oh, boy. Let's just wrap this episode up. That's the movie.
That's the movie. So this movie could basically be seen as a pop star who went fucking crazy on stage and killed herself.
Way to spoil the ending.
Sorry. I spoiled the movie from the first 3 minutes.
Dude, I laughed so fucking hard at the end, too, because she ends up shoving a microphone down her throat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, you being a vocalist, that must have been so funny to you.
Yeah,
must
a little
have
bit.
Been like, I thought about doing this all the time, killing myself with a microphone.
Oh, all the time. I don't even do it on purpose, and I just fucking whack myself in the mouth. All the time. Fucking sucks, man. So that's the gaping plot hole, is that this whole part of... Well, actually, let me kind of dive into this, too. So the reason why Sky got this smile demon shit is that I think this is where it all ties together. Do you remember the kid that was in the house as, like, the murder was happening and, like, the brother gets shot, all that shit? He's just like, oh, just buy from them.
Yeah, that ended up being Lewis.
That was Lewis. Mm-hmm. All right. So the thing is, it doesn't make sense for Lewis to get it because that guy fucking went out the window, ran in the road, and got hit by a car.
Oh, my God. You're just tearing it apart.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
You're making it worse for me.
I know. Like, I didn't hate the movie. There's a few things I really did not like in this movie, and it's mostly just pure logic. Is that this, obviously, this is pure logically doesn't make any sense.
Was this the same writer as the first one?
I don't know, actually. Check that out.
I'm looking right now. Parker Finn. Yep, same writer.
Same writer. Okay. So I honestly don't even really remember much of the first Smile. I watched it once, and I think I remember, like, a couple scenes, but overall forgettable for me.
Yeah, I remember I saw the first one in theaters. It came out around my birthday 2 years ago, and a bunch of people from work took me to the theaters to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several people in my group that do not do horror at all.
Okay.
They were like, I'll just go because it's Corey's birthday. I shit you not. They were like laughing out loud the whole time of how fucking bad it was.
Yep. It was fine. It was like, ugh, I don't know.
I will say the second one, as I heard going into this, that the second one was better than the first one, but somehow it was still bad.
Yeah. Would you say worse or not as bad?
Not as bad.
Okay. All right. So at least not as bad. I didn't hate watching this movie, but it did feel like it dragged on for fucking ever, man.
It was, dude. It was like about, 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah.
According to the IMDb, and it felt like 2 hours and 7 minutes. Like, there wasn't any point where I was invested in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I was really invested. I was, like, fucking just sitting there, dicking around, trying to come up with notes. At some point, I realized this is a Voss commercial.
Yeah, it's a two-hour Voss commercial.
It's a two-hour Voss commercial because there is so much Voss reference in this movie. Every drink of water, big Voss logo right there. Whenever like something bad happens to her, someone comes up, big Voss bottle.
And that was her whole thing. Like, that character Sky is a recovering addict, and at one point in the movie she says to her friend Gemma that her therapist, or was it therapist or rehab person, like sponsor or whatever,
yeah, sponsor,
told her whenever she's under stress or thinking about using again that she should chug water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always Voss every time.
Voss every time. That shit's not cheap. Not to mention it doesn't taste that great. I'm sorry, Voss. I tried it and y'all tasted like fucking tap water.
What do you mean? It's natural spring water from Iceland.
Oh, is it?
I have no fucking clue.
Well, that's the whole idea, is that, I don't know, it comes from the taps of Iceland. I am
going to look that up, though, because I'm curious.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, so, I don't know. I use my Brita water filters. It's way cheaper. I don't fucking need Voss.
Norway.
I will say this, though. Norway. It's from Norway.
Yeah, it's Norwegian water.
Okay. So, sorry, Norwegians. That's not your best export. I'm sorry. I tried it. I didn't get the hype.
Voss is bottled at an artesian source in the pristine wilderness of southern Norway, naturally filtered and protected from pollutants. The water is generated and pumped from the artesian well deep beneath the ground. The unprocessed nature of the water gives it fresh, clean taste. Now we're advertising for Voss.
Yeah, look at us. We're fucking no better. Jeez.
We gotta email them and ask them for a sponsorship.
Why would I want to do that? I just said it tastes like fucking tap water.
Because they pay us, Steve.
That's true. I'm a fucking sellout. Pin me, pay me. I don't give a shit. Fucking say whatever as long as they get paid. Now, that's not true. I have some morals, kinda.
So, there's a goof.
Oh, I love goofs.
In one scene, Sky places a Voss water bottle down on a stone marble kitchen counter, and a noise matching the sound of a plastic bottle being placed down is heard.
Whoops.
Voss water bottles are glass, something that is actually specifically highlighted in the film, and so the audio doesn't match the action scene.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Funny you say that. I have seen plastic Voss bottles. Maybe that's why I don't like Voss water.
Because they're in plastic bottles?
Because it was a plastic bottle one, not the fucking glass bottles. Everything tastes better in glass, man. Let's be real. So, yeah, there were a lot of parts about this movie that I did enjoy. The violence in it, I thought was great. There was some really violent scenes.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about the second one with Lewis, with the fucking weight?
That was borderline cringe, I would say.
Uh-huh.
But I was drinking my coffee because I watched it early morning, and when he turned, because he acts all normal at first when Sky gets to his apartment, and then he turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts he grabs a 35-pound weight off of his weight bench and starts smashing himself in the face with it over and over again.
Yep.
But the special effects in this scene and, you know, the practical effects, the gore and shit, mm-hmm. So good.
Very good. Especially that one part where his, like, you see that flab of flesh just drop off to the like side, and you see bone. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's brutal. You're seeing skull, and it didn't look like shit. You know what I mean? It looked like they actually put some fucking work into this. I mean, they had a pretty solid budget. I think it was like $25 million or something like that. That's what I'm reading.
What did it make in the box office?
150.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna get a third one at some point. It's gonna happen. Hopefully, they learn from this fucking flub at the beginning of like, oh shit, we just fucking ended the movie before it even began. Now, the only way that could work, by the way, like, let's say that person was in the audience and saw that whole shit happening, and then, you know, he gets it. But it didn't happen like that because Lewis is in the scene. So we all know that takes place prior to Sky. I don't know, man. That whole thing, I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning.
That's because we were playing Fortnite.
Well, yes, we were playing Fortnite for a little bit. I couldn't sleep because of this whole scene.
Oh, it just bothered you that it was so glaring?
Yeah, it was so glaring, and it bothered me for hours. I don't think I went to bed until maybe like 4 a.m. finally.
Dude, then you had to get up for work this morning, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, that's, nope. I'd have been popping Eddie's.
Yeah, no, I just pound a shit ton of coffee and I get to work, that's what I do. But I struggled to go to bed because of this one scene. It kept racking my brain, like, wait a second, what the hell? You know, just, that's what it was like the whole time in my bed. And now I'm like, I'm analyzing, my brain is going fucking a mile a minute, trying to analyze how it could even work to make sense. So I'm like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I almost got up and like tried to do something else to take my mind off of it. I was that fucking amped up. Couldn't stop.
That's so simple too. And like, I never thought of it until you said it.
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about this movie, and I feel like I might be jumping ahead a lot, but we can just talk about the hits and the misses. So this movie was very chaotic. And I did like the ideas that it was kind of like her diving straight into madness, because that's apparently what this thing does. It's, it makes you go mad and like you lose your mind and then it takes over. So at some point in this movie, I started thinking like, I don't know what's real or what's fake anymore in this movie. Now, whether that was bad writing or whether it was intentional, either way, if it could have gone either way, it would have been impressive. But okay, so at the point, I'm skipping way ahead here, by the way.
That's fine.
Way ahead.
We're almost at time anyway.
Are we? Oh, no. I haven't even. Oh, no, we're not. No, you just wanted to end early. You just want to fucking stop. So the scene where she kills her mother. I'm like, oh, okay. It's not like that scene.
Yeah, I thought that was fake.
You thought that was fake?
Yeah, I thought she was dreaming it because she was in her bed. Like you said, the reports in this movie that were hard to differentiate between real and fake.
Yep.
And I didn't think this was happening. Like her running out of her room and running through the lobby of the rehab center, wherever she was, fucking grabbing a gun out of a security guard's waist.
Okay. So
I didn't think any of that was real.
All right. Okay. So I thought some of it was real. Well, okay. No, I thought it like actually a good portion of that was real. But now I'm like, when did it stop not being real? At what point was it fake? Because now we figured out that, oh, okay, Gemma was never there. Never in the picture the whole entire time, because when she stayed the night one night at Sky's house and her mom walked in pissed, didn't even acknowledge her.
Yeah, but like her mom was one of those people that I'm sure a lot of celebrity, you know, their parents are like, where they just pretty much just think of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her thing with Sky. Like, I just don't feel like she was trying to better her daughter at all. She was just in it for herself and the money.
Ah, those people are so bad. Those parents, like the Culkins, right? The Culkins were kind of like that too. He had to, what's the word I want to use? Conservatorship?
That was a thing Britney Spears had.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But same thing with Britney Spears, man. Like the parents have full control over their life and their autonomy and all that shit. And it's awful. It's so bad.
So that's
bad
the kind of vibe
see.
I got in this movie.
Yeah, I was getting that vibe too from her mother. So she sucked. But then when I saw her murdered, I was like, oh, she kind of deserved it.
She kind of deserved that, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't exactly hate it, but it definitely caught me off guard, like, oh, shit. So she stabbed her mother the whole time. So I didn't know where in the reality and crazy scale we were at this point. I don't even know if that guy she was talking to was real. Like, you got to go even further back. When did it stop becoming real?
Yeah.
Because the end of this movie, that whole scene happens where she's actually doing the concert. And, like, mentally, she was not there that whole entire time. And then she just randomly shows up. So her mother was alive. Everyone was alive. There was a lot of parts in this that were just pretty wild in that aspect.
Speaking of wild, to me, the scariest thing in this whole movie was Sky ripping her hair out all the time.
Oh, God, I hated it.
She just grabbed, like, she'd get, like, nervous or antsy or whatever, and she'd just grab, like, a whole handful of her own hair and just rip it out of her head.
Oh, my God, man. You know, some people do that.
That got me every time.
Oh, man, it's so bad. You know, there's some people that do that and then eat the hair.
Was that on, like, My Strange Addiction or something?
No, it's a disorder. There are people that do, like, the hair thing, and then they end up getting these fucking crazy hairballs in their stomach because they're nibbling on the end of their hair. We don't digest that shit the same as cats do.
Nope.
No, so hair just gets built up in the fucking stomach, all that shit, and then they have to have surgery and get that shit out. That's their fucking fault. It's a dumb thing to do, but some people are addicted to that shit, or I don't know. Some people are just nuts, man. They're nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So
that show's fucked.
Yeah, that is a fuck show. I've seen clips of it where a guy was like in love with his car, like a little too much in love with his car.
Did you see the one that had the lady that fell in love with a roller coaster?
What?
And they got no. married and they had sex, too.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I know how she looks already.
Yeah, it's probably just like you think.
It is exactly like I think. Oh, they all have those roller coasters all have a type. I swear. That's their thing. I don't know. So there's one thing I thought was interesting about this movie is Ray Nicholson, right? So Ray Nicholson was going out. He's doing all like the press and all this shit. And he's got like a couple small scenes in this movie. And I hope you know who I'm talking about. Ray Nicholson? It's fucking Jack Nicholson's kid.
Okay.
You didn't
I'm
know that?
I'm looking at his IMDb now. No, I did not know that. But now that you say that, I'm looking at it and there's photos of him and his dad everywhere.
Yep.
And he looks exactly like him now that I see it in front of me.
Now it can't be unseen?
Nope.
Nope. I think one of the main reasons for bringing him in this fucking movie, because he didn't add a shit ton of value to it other than like flashback scenes of him and her getting in this fight while they're driving, or him being shown as dead or something like that. The smile, the Jack Nicholson smile.
Yeah, he did the Joker thing.
Yeah, he did the Joker thing. Jack Nicholson did Joker. He did The Shining. Big, big smiles. And that's like his thing. So I think he just gets it from his dad, obviously. It's fucking in his DNA. So here we are, Ray Nicholson. He was good to an extent, but how good can you be when you're only in it for a couple scenes, you know?
What has he been in besides this?
I think I looked and there wasn't really much. I don't know, look it up.
Benchwarmers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's way back.
Licorice Pizza. That was actually a good movie.
I didn't even see Licorice Pizza.
It's pretty good.
Is it? Okay.
Mayans. He's been in a few things, but yeah, not a lot that's well known.
Yeah, exactly. So I will say this, like, overall, the acting in this movie was fine. However, I thought Naomi Scott did a great job. I thought she was, like, she was great as the lead. She had a lot of range, but everyone kind of failed in comparison, I feel like. So she kind of just carried the fucking whole show, which makes sense. It's all, like, around her anyways.
Yeah, and I only know her from Aladdin,
mm-hmm.
but I also didn't realize that she was the Pink Power Ranger at one point.
Fuck yeah.
Charlie's Angels. Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, so she's putting in some decent work. The newer Power Rangers, I didn't see it. I think I've seen maybe like a fucking few scenes on FX or whatever as I'm like flipping through the channels, but I didn't get invested in it. So I know she's in it, but how was she in Aladdin? I'm assuming she was good enough to be in fucking Aladdin. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a big deal.
Yeah, she was good. She played Jasmine.
Okay.
I liked the live action Aladdin.
Did you? I'd never seen it. I also don't have Disney Plus, and I don't know. I don't really go out of my way to watch Disney movies. Not that I don't like them or anything. I just don't watch them.
Yeah.
So, but I thought she did great in this. There were some other scenes, man, in this where... You remember the scene where she's in her fucking apartment? Because she's in an apartment a lot in this movie. Where everyone just showed up out of fucking nowhere, like smiling.
Yeah, I thought that whole exchange there was so dumb.
Yeah. I will say this. I've been in that situation before. It sucks.
You've had a bunch of random people walking through your apartment smiling?
Exactly. No. I had, I was hallucinating when I was a child, and I had like this fever, and I woke up and there were like hundreds of people in my room just staring at me like that. I was like, oh, I'm out. I fucking ran out of the room and then they all started chasing me exactly like that. I was like, this is my nightmare. I don't like that. So that freaked me out a little bit, but whole time I'm watching it, I'm just thinking to myself, their lips must be so damn chapped from smiling so much.
Yeah, they probably had used a lot of chapstick on this one.
I would hope so, because in order to get a smile like that, you like have to like bring your top gum over your teeth and just have it sit there. That hurts after a while, just having your face smiling that much.
Maybe Voss supplied the chapstick for this too.
Oh, maybe. Everyone's lips were very hydrated, that's for sure. So, yeah, that whole scene was very weird. Just fucking running around her apartment. They jam her arm down her throat. She wakes up. That's when she wakes up and she ends up killing her mother. Okay, so this is where it starts getting fucking crazy, because we don't know if this is reality or if it's, like, fake. She probably wasn't even in her apartment the whole time. So I don't know when it stopped being real. Do you have any idea when this movie, like, stopped being real and when it started just going off the fucking rails?
Nope. Not a clue.
No. For all I know, it could have been just since the very beginning, like she could have been dreaming up this whole fucking thing, because the smile demon isn't even a thing anymore. It doesn't exist.
Maybe that whole stuff with Sky was a flashback.
Do you think so?
Well, because the beginning. So maybe the stuff with Sky was a flashback, and maybe the guy that died was someone in the audience, which, you know what I mean, at her show.
Okay. Oh, that could be interesting. Maybe they'll use that.
Yeah, Mr. Parker or whatever. Mm-hmm. Parker Finn, if you end up using that for the third movie, I want to check.
Yeah, there you go. Just talk with us. We got some ideas.
Yeah, make it up to 30 screams or less.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take that fucking... Well, we'll take that check. So I want to go back into the violence in this movie again.
Okay.
So as she's leaving the doctor's office, barefooted, with a gun, everyone's just like, oh, yeah, you know exactly what I'm going to talk about.
The glass?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. She steps on glass and just pulls this thing out of her foot.
It's like a sheet of glass.
Yeah, it's like it's a fucking large amount of glass that is stuck in there. I should have known that this wasn't real, because Gemma just shows up literally out of nowhere. It was very convenient for her to just be walking up with coffees.
I laughed so hard. Speaking of those coffees, I laughed so hard when she just like, Sky's like, we need to get out of here. And Gemma's like, I'm driving. And she takes that whole platter of coffee. So I think there were four coffees on it. And she just throws it into the street.
Yeah, just yeets them.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, take them with you. Why not?
What a waste of coffee. There's cup holders in that car.
I know. So ridiculous.
With the Denali that they just, probably a Denali that they just stole.
Yeah, and no one said anything. And that's when I should have known, like, there's some fuckery happening here. And especially when she answers the phone and it's Gemma calling her. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, so who the fuck is in the driver's seat? It was her in the driver's seat the whole fucking time, but because of the smile demon is fucking with her mind, it's basically putting her outside of her body. So there was a lot of cerebral aspects to this movie that I did enjoy. And because I do love that stuff. I mean, shit, the majority of the lyrics my band writes is all cerebral shit, all mental shit. So I thought that was really cool that all of this is happening. And I was actually enjoying that for the most part. But again, this guy that she decides to go to, like, this abandoned Pizza Hut with, that has like a big ass refrigerator.
Literally a Pizza Hut.
A Pizza Hut, exactly. A big, just a fucking old ass Pizza Hut with this refrigerator. And she goes in there and she's going to do the Frighteners thing. And in the Frighteners, what they needed to do was Michael J. Fox, they had to slow his heartbeat down so that way he could die and see who was killing all of these people in the town. It was like, it's a ghost, but he needed to like figure out even more who it was. That's when we find out it was Johnny Bartlett. So they did the same thing. They froze him to the point where he got cold, he died, and then they brought him back. But they didn't even get to this point. She goes into the fucking refrigerator, she's laying down, she's freezing, and then she gets in this fucking battle with the fucking demon. And it's pretty twisted. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds so dumb.
Yeah, I know. How do you fight a demon? You don't. You really don't. No, there's no fucking holy water. It's not even really a demon. It's all in their fucking head. So how do you fight yourself?
Easy. You slam yourself into the wall.
Is this the part that leads up to her fighting the demon on the stage?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This part, too, I couldn't contain laughter.
The butthole eyes?
The butthole eyes. It was so bad. It looked like it looked like googly eyes that you get at a craft store.
What are you talking about? No, it looked like you have a cat. You've seen your cat's butthole.
What the fuck? I can't say. I just look at it.
But it, like, clearly you'll be sitting there and it's like, oh, hey, here's my tail. Look at my butthole now. Every cat does it. Every single cat does it. So she's laying on the ground and the demon is on top of her. And it's like, look in my eyes. That type deal. And the eyes are just, they look like giant ass cat buttholes, like staring at her.
Okay.
Two of them. All right. I'm like, okay, this is what we got, what we're working with here then. So the demon's on top of her and it's got its thumbs in her mouth and like, you know, ginormous looking eyes, all veiny, all that weird stuff. And Sky ends up biting the thumbs off of this demon. And the thing is, none of it's real. So she's like, I'm in control. And that's when she's like biting off the fingers and then realizing like, I can do this. And she picks up the needle, jams herself in the neck, injects it in the hopes that it's going to kill her. Now, she does that, nothing happens. And the demon's like, you have no control. And then it like locks her into that fucking, I don't know, egg thing that she comes out in from stage or whatever. You know what I mean? It looked like almost a shell or something, but it's what they were using to unveil her at the live show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she fucking comes out of that and now she's on stage. This is when we go, okay, so everything we saw probably in the second half of this movie on didn't even happen. So she's just been fucking lost that whole time. So this is actually my bigger gripe of the movie, other than what we've already expressed earlier.
Okay.
So the bigger gripe here is this. She starts killing herself because the demon's making her do it. Problem is, we don't see any of it. It's all just like first person point of view watching her die.
Actually didn't hate this because you can hear it.
Yeah. I mean, the squelching's fine, but the thing is, if it's going to be first person point of view like that, I feel like we should actually be seeing some damage happen. Like at some point she jammed the microphone in her eye. We should have seen vision get fucked up. Like we should have been in her shoes seeing this shit happen if it's going to be first person point of view. Like blood spraying, eye fucking going just gone, like losing vision, like all this shit, like audience members sprayed with blood or something.
Damn, but, dude, we completely disagree on this part.
Really? Okay.
No, yeah, I liked how they did it.
You liked how they did
it?
Okay.
Because it was the use of sound design. You knew what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what was going on. It's like, I didn't hate it, but I was like, you know what? I think it would have been cool to do that, but, or at least us see it from the audience as if we're in the audience. Like, put us in one place or the other. But the squelching works. It does work. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying, like, I think it would have been cool if we're doing this whole first person thing to really go fucking balls to the wall.
Yeah. I mean, it could have gone either way for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could have gone either way. I think I just would have done it that way, but it didn't take away from the scene at all. I was just like, you know, I think that would have been cool, but it's fine. It's okay. So here's where things get really fucking weird. So she kills herself on stage, and it's to a fucking arena of people. And now everyone is, like, apparently affected by the smile demon. So my question is this. How many people can this smile demon do at one time?
I think we're going to find out. Maybe smile seven.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but the thing is, though, it always jumps from person to person. That's a lot of work to do that all to, like, 20,000 people. Like, oh, shit, I bit off a little bit more than I can chew. Now I got to fucking make a bunch of people crazy. Like, they're putting in some fucking, like, holiday hours, man.
You know, this concept of this invisible thing being able to jump between person to person and, you know, make them control the person and make them do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of played out at this point because did you watch the show Teacup?
No, I heard it's good.
Yeah, it was good, but it's the same exact concept where you have this thing that can jump between person to person and make them kill people or mm-hmm. do whatever.
Yeah.
It literally just finished on, I think it's Hulu or Amazon maybe. But
okay.
I love the show, but the concept exactly the same.
Yeah. You know what's the same too is It Follows. Kind of same deal, except that's more about a VD. So it's kind of like a venereal disease, you know?
Yeah, and I'm actually excited to get a sequel to that because it's happening.
Yeah, I would like to see the sequel to that. That first one was so fucking good.
Yeah, I have that score on vinyl. It's awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah. So yeah, there are a lot of shit like that now. You know, obviously you have the ring, which is always like handed down. We could even debate Mr. Crockett was handed down. There's a lot of these movies now where something's handed on to the next person and it's like a fucking curse or a demon or something. And it's like, and they have X amount of days before they have to figure shit out before they actually do die. It's tired. We see it all the time. And this is just going to keep going.
That's what I was going to say. The thing with this one is it's going to keep going.
We've established you can't stop it by killing the person.
Yep.
So it just does what it wants to do. That's all. But Corey, what do you give Smile to?
This is a 2 out of 5.
Woo! Okay.
I would actually give this a 1 if the score wasn't really well done and Naomi Scott wasn't so good at portraying the Sky character.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't understand Hollywood's obsession with trying to make this franchise the next big thing. They are not good. Like I said, the concepts, it's good, but it's tired. It's overblown already. Execution is poor, and I hear about rumblings of them turning this into a full-blown Saw-type franchise, where we're probably going to get a new one every year.
Really?
Yeah, they need to stop, and I hope another one of these is never made, but I know it's going to keep going because people will keep paying to see it,
mm-hmm.
and I know opinions are subjective, and I'm a very picky bitch, but this was not for me.
That's fair. I didn't think this was going to be for you anyways. I knew right away as we're going into it that, like, yep, this is not going to be Corey's thing, and hey, we did it. We commit to the bit. So I have some things to say about this. I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this one. I like Naomi Scott's portrayal of Sky. I thought it was a strong performance, but everyone else just seemed okay. The movie itself I thought was fine. The violent parts were pretty damn violent, but I'm confused on what was real and what isn't. And I'm thinking that's the whole point of it, is to be as mentally confused between what is real and what isn't real. And we kind of got that out of this. And I don't know if it was like a happy mistake or if it was intentional, but we got to kind of feel what it's like to go crazy. So if it was their intention, which I'm hoping it was, then that's a good way to make an audience think and put themselves in the shoes of the protagonist, Sky. If it wasn't done intentionally, then they lucked out by the senselessness actually making sense in this movie. So it's kind of like when a chef fucks something up and calls it deconstructed something, that type deal. So
yeah, and then it ends up being a hit.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then everyone's like, oh, have you ever tried this deconstructed burger? It's like, no, it's just a hamburger plate.
Have this deconstructed open-faced turkey sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. I also felt this movie went on a little too long. 2 hours and 7 minutes runtime, but that seems to be the average these days. I feel like this could have been wrapped up in 15, 20 minutes earlier. I'm actually upset again that we didn't see Sky's death, but I see your point about how the sound design actually does add to it. So it could go either way. I don't know. I think that was my big thing, is that we should have either seen it from the audience point of view, or if we were doing the point of view of Sky, we should have been seeing like the brutality happening. So that was like another bigger gripe of mine. And surely there will be a Smile 3 based on how much it made at the box office. I mean, from what I'm hearing, it was like 28 to 30 million for the budget, and it grossed 135 from what I'm seeing. So I'm sure there'll be a Smile 3. It'll probably be called Smile-denic or Epidemic because of the amount of people that were at the arena show and affected by this, even though an additional installment in this series makes absolutely no sense. But hey, movie magic. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.